ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 20, Text 5.
Astau masan nipitam yad.
Astau masan nipitam yad.
Bhumi yashodamayam vasu. Svagobir moktam arebhe Parjanya kala agate Ashtau masa nipittam yad Bhumya chaudamayam vasu Svagobir moktam arebhe परजन्य काल आगते अष्टौ मासानि पीतं यद् भूम्याश्चोदमयं वसु स्वगोभिर्मोक्तुमारेभे परजन्यः काल आगते
Matajis. What to what translation?
Ashtau, eight. Masan, during months. Nipitam, drunk. Yat, which. Bhumyaha, of the earth. Cha, and. Udamayam, consisting of water. Vasu, the wealth. Svagobihi, by his own rays. Moktam, to release. Arebhe began. Parjanyaha, the sun. Kale, the proper time. Agate, when it arrived. Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When its rays, the sun had for 8 months drunk up, with its rays, the sun had for 8 months drunk up the earth's wealth, in the form of water. Now that the proper time had arrived, the sun began releasing this accumulated wealth. Purport. The acharyas compare the sun's evaporating the earth's wealth of water to a king's collecting taxes. In volume 1, chapter 20 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada explains this analogy as follows. Clouds are accumulated water drawn from the land by the sunshine. Continually for 8 months, the sun evaporates all kinds of water from the surface of the globe, and this water is accumulated in the shape of clouds, which are distributed as water when there is need. Similarly, a government exacts various taxes from the citizens, which the citizens are able to pay by their different material activities, agriculture, trade, and industry. Thus, the government can also exact taxes in the form of income tax and sales tax. This is compared to the sun drawing water from the earth. When there is again need of water on the surface of the globe, the same sunshine converts the water into clouds and distributes it all over the globe. Similarly, the taxes collected by the government must be distributed to the people as educational work, public work, sanitation work, and so on. This is essential for a good government. The government should not simply exact taxes for useless squandering. The tax collection should be utilized for the public welfare of the state. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Uta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, seek the blessings of all the devotees. In this chapter there is the explanation of the rainy season. And today's verse is talking about how the sun evaporates by its heat water from the whole planet. Just yesterday, Agni Nakshatra started, Shyamanand Prabhu was telling me, the heat is going to increase now. And Mumbai is, all over Mumbai, all over India, people are always talking and suggesting how the taxes should be applied, how the country should be run, what should be done, what should not be done. So I'm not going to give any of my suggestions and just read from Srila Prabhupada's purport some things. Prabhupada mentions in one place about taxation and prosperity. He says,
The taxation law was simple. There was no force, no encroachment. Recently, some very famous personality was raided. Whole house, this usually happens. There is always force needed to get money from people because people don't want to give. But earlier times, there was no force, no encroachment. The king had a right to take 1/4 of the production made by the subject. Whatever earning a person would make, if he has 1 rupee, then he should give 25 paisa. That's as simple. Taxation made simple. Just give 1/4 of whatever you earn. And if you don't earn, you go to the king and beg, and he gives you. The king had a right to claim 1/4 of one's allotted wealth. One would never grudge parting with it. And the citizens would never grudge. They would be very happy giving their tax. Why? Because due to the pious king and religious harmony, the king would be very pious. His lifestyle, very honest. We'll see a little more further what Prabhupada says. And religious harmony, people would be very religious in their practices, honest. There was enough, because of all this, what would happen? There would be enough natural wealth. Namely grains, fruits, flowers, silk, cotton, milk, jewels, minerals. I was at a village and while I was walking, so much land, this farmer was doing farming. And there's water flowing. There was constant water flowing in a small gutter, which would also give water to his land. And there was enough space over there. So I asked him that, you're doing some farming over here, what are you growing? He said, I'm growing sugarcane. And so I said, you sell sugarcane and then you buy vegetables. So why don't you grow vegetables? And you have so much space near where the gutter is. Why don't you grow some banana plant? You know, if you do that, you get some fruits. He said, no, if I grow, other people will come and take away my banana. There is always fear. We have so much space. Now it is mango season. Mangoes are very costly. But actually, if it is grown, it can just grow anywhere. And there can be abundance. But because of greed, people don't want to distribute. So I asked this farmer, even if somebody comes and takes away your bananas, which you grow, you still have the leaves. You know, you can, it's a very pious plant, you can use it for puja. Then he started thinking, maybe I should do that. You know, I never thought so much about doing. Because everybody wants to hold, nobody wants to give. The government is doing the same thing, and so it reflects in people. Whatever the leaders do, the people under them will follow. As in management they say, everything flows from top to bottom. All good and bad qualities. So, and therefore no one wants to, and if there is so much of wealth, then no one was materially unhappy. The citizens were rich in agriculture and animal husbandry, and therefore they had enough grains, fruits and milk without any artificial needs of soaps and toilets, cinemas and bars. People were happy with natural products. We have some devotees from Ghana, they were showing us their PPT. Everywhere there is so much of greenery and fruits and lotuses grow everywhere. In Bhagavatam, many places it is mentioned, there is lotuses everywhere in the city. Ponds everywhere. Nature overtakes, it becomes very beautiful. An example Prabhupada gives of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj as an ideal king, practically emptied his treasury by giving charity. He gave so much charity, practically emptied his whole treasury. A king is not meant simply to realize taxes from the citizens and accumulate wealth to spend in sense gratification. One politician was caught, and when they searched his house, they found a whole wardrobe of clothes and thousands of shoes. There was an edict of collecting beautiful shoes. And they accumulated, when they calculated, it came up to millions of rupees. Just his clothes. World monarchy has failed ever since kings began to satisfy their personal senses with the taxes accumulated from the citizens. Of course, whether the system is monarchy or democracy, the same corruption is still going on. At the present moment, there are different parties in the democratic government, but everyone is busy trying to keep his post or trying to keep his political party in power. The politicians have very little time to think of the welfare of the citizens, whom they oppress with heavy taxes in the form of income tax, sales tax, and many other taxes. People sometimes have 80 to 90% of their income taken away, and these taxes are lavishly spent for the high salaries drawn by the officers and rulers. People become so agitated because of taxation that sometimes they go and slap their finance ministers. So disturbed because of taxation. And government is not worried about what is happening to people. They will just increase the tax. I was traveling in the train, and I try to book my tickets much in advance, so that, because I don't know whether it happens in other parts of the world, but in India, traveling in trains is a science. And if you don't know, then you face a lot of problems. But I have practiced myself also to travel with in the third class. So I have traveled in all classes, and I have seen that I booked my ticket much in advance, and the government increased taxes. And the TT came and he asked me, "You have to pay so much money more." I said, "I booked my ticket long ago. I booked my ticket 3 months ago. And you increased the taxes just 1 month back." And while he was coming in the compartment, everyone was cursing him. People were blaspheming him, cursing him on his face. I was thinking, what a pathetic job. and he was still collecting money from people, you know. And he said, "No, you have to pay." It's absolutely wrong that somebody has booked the ticket long back and now you increase the tax. And because you increase the tax, you have to pay. I already booked. What if I would have said that I don't have money? I thought for a second. I said, "I'm a sadhu. Somebody booked my ticket. I don't have any money. Now I'll not give you anything." So, Prabhupada says, formerly the taxes accumulated from the citizens were spent for performing great sacrifices as enjoined in the Vedic literature. There was arrangement made so that people could come closer to God. But here the taxes are spent for enjoyment and for getting money for enjoyment by advertisement. Anywhere you go, the government is spending a lot of money on big TV screens, which are constantly making bombardment. You go in the bus, you cannot avoid them. You go on the railway station, it is there everywhere. Really big ones. Sometimes our preachers look at those screens and say, "Maybe we should take this one, this type of screen for, you know, our youth program. It's really good. Big screens. Go on the stations, it's everywhere." They spend a lot of money in all these things. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of sun over here. And this is a very interesting example. in some places Prabhupada mentions and how the sun is actually an energy of the Lord. And the success of a government is in trying to remember and understand that everything is energy of Lord. As a matter of fact, every individual can meditate on this. To make economic development by our own endeavors on the strength of tools and machinery is not all. The sanction of the Supreme Lord must be there. Otherwise, despite all instrumental arrangements, everything will be unsuccessful. The ultimate cause of success is the Daiva, the Supreme. Krishna is the ultimate cause of all success. He is the ability in man. He is giving all energy, everything that we have. Kings like Maharaj Yudhishthir knew perfectly well that the king is the agent of the Supreme Lord to look after the welfare of the mass of people. Actually, the state belongs to the Supreme Lord. The rivers, oceans, forests, hills, drugs, etc. are not creations of man. They are all creations of the Supreme Lord. And the living being is allowed to make use of the property of the Lord for the service of the Lord. Today's slogan is that everything is for the people and therefore the government is for the people and by the people. If we could always remember that everything belongs to the Lord, then we would want to use it in service of the Lord. My problem is personally I keep forgetting that. And therefore I face so many problems in my life. And I try to pray to Krishna that may He give me the intelligence that I may always remember that whatever I have is actually given by Him and I should use it in His service. Whether I have intelligence, whether I have good speaking ability, whether I have the ability to play musical instruments, whether I have the ability to cook or the ability to earn a lot of money, whatever I have is been given by Krishna. If I can always remember that, then I will be very enthusiastic to use it in service of Krishna. Many times I don't want to use it in service Krishna. I refrain from using my abilities in service of Krishna. Why? Because I feel it belongs to me and I will use it the way I want to use it. And I give so much of advice to others. So I was doing that. I was complaining to others that why you are not doing this service? Why you are not using this? You have this ability. Radha Gopinath Prabhu called me one time. And he said, Madhavendra Puri, I want to tell you a good SMS that came to me. I said, yeah, please tell me Prabhu, what is the SMS? He said, you can make tremendous spiritual advancement or material advancement. You can make tremendous advancement if you only apply all the instructions you give to others. So much of expectations from others, but then I realized that I am not using my ability in service of Krishna properly. That becomes a hindrance in progressing in spiritual life. If I have something, and if I can use it in service of Krishna, because life is so short. Life is actually very short. There's a sad incident that took place in our base in Kolhapur, one place. One neighbor family, they were cooking for our base boys. Husband and wife working hard to raise a family. One son is studying engineering another doing something else, their daughter is young, and the father remains 15 days out of the house, work for a government project, and he comes back for maybe 3 days and then goes back. So husband and wife work hard to raise the children, work hard. The son did electronics engineering, got a job. And as he was working in the electrical area, something hit his leg, some electric current, something. So he tried to get ready, take support, and he put his hand on a machine. And both his hands were electrified. Some base boys came to tell me about this, and both his hands had to be amputated from here. I was shocked. I said, "My God!" Because I know them, very cultured. When I first went over there, this lady, she came, and you know, she was, they are Shaivite Brahmins. She gave donation. They don't even know me. And they started chanting Hare Krishna one round, like that. I was feeling very sad that person has lost. So I said, how is he going to perform now? What are they going to do with no hands? So the doctor is going to, there is some artificial system which is applied. You have something like two fingers sort of thing. You can at least lift a mobile or some object with that. So I was just meditating today morning, because so many incidents have happened like that in the past few months. We had one young boy called Paramananda Gopal. All of a sudden, 30 years old, he left his body, suddenly detected brain tumor. One Mataji left her body, she was in her 20s. Life is very short. If I play mridanga, I have the ability and I can play for Krishna. So let me play. If I lose my hands, how will I play? If I have the ability to do something, then let me do it for Krishna. When I cannot do it, why should I make mental blocks to stop my progress in spiritual life? One devotee was telling me, Radhanath Maharaj called him and asked him, what is your age? And he said, Maharaj, my age is around 40. He said, you have 10 years more. Do whatever you can for Krishna. Because after 50, your abilities, you will not be able to perform very well. So, if not by accident, if not by something else, by age, we will not be able to perform. But so much of mental gaps, so much of mental blocks of not being able to. I myself been struggling for long time with all the mental blocks and trying to overcome. But because of the association of very wonderful devotees, always keep encouraging me to perform and serve Krishna. If we can understand and be grateful, that sometimes we may complain. Like I would complain. Why? Why? I'll not do this because this is going wrong in my life. But the other side is to see a side of gratitude. Am I qualified to be in Krishna consciousness first of all? There are so many wonderful singers, players, intelligent people all over the world. But because they are not connected to Krishna, their life is an empty zero. We may be not the best in the world, but because we are connected to Krishna, there is something special, actually. So a sense of gratitude that I am not qualified, but now I am connected to Krishna. Devotees are kind. Krishna is kind. He has brought me in this situation. Let me use whatever I have in service of Krishna. One person asked Jananivas Prabhu, Prabhu, how do I go back to Krishna? Because Shastra says that unless you become purified, you cannot achieve Krishna. So I need to purify myself and then I have to go to Krishna. And Jananivas Prabhu says, if you think like that, then that is what will happen. It means if you think that you will one day become purified, absolutely clean, and then achieve Krishna, then that is what will happen. But if you think, Krishna, I am unqualified, I am not pure, this is what I am, I surrender unto you, then you will go immediately. So if I think that I will develop certain qualities and become a perfectionist and then serve Krishna, then it will take a lot of time. But if I think, Krishna, this is what I have. Krishna goes to the house of a poor Brahmin and he doesn't have anything in his house. He just makes Krishna sit down on a small mat. He doesn't have eatables. He gives Krishna a glass of water. And he doesn't have entertainment, so he starts dancing for Krishna. And Krishna becomes very happy with him. So whatever I have, I give to Krishna. And Krishna will become happy with whatever I have. But the ingredient is that I try to give it with devotion to Krishna. So I'm struggling to do that under the guidance of my guides who are helping me so much. In the Ramayana, there is mention of how Lord Ram, people want to live in Rama Rajya. There is mention of how Lord Ram ruled. I was reading in the initial part. He had 8 ministers. He was always guided by teachers. Although he is the Lord himself, he never behaved independently. He is most intelligent, he is most powerful, he is the most of everything. And yet he had teachers. He had 7 ministers. Drishti, Jayanta, Vijay, Surashtra, Rashtravardhana, Akopa, Dharmapala, and the 7th was Sumantra, who was almost like a family member. And he had 2 special saints in his court. One was Vashishta and the other was Vamadeva. And they would do all the religious rites. Dashrath Maharaj, also there were other great saints, Suyagnya, Jabali, Kashyapa, Gautama, Markandeya, Dhirayu and Katyana. So many of them were helping him run his country. What was the standard of the ministers in the court of Dashrath Maharaj in Ram Rajya? All ministers were well versed in scriptures. They had shunned bad habits. They were skillful ones in their duties and their senses were regulated. Those great souls, affluent knowers of all sciences, they were firmly courageous and they were distinguished and quiet souls. And they were true to their words. They were magnificent, patient, famed ones, and whenever they spoke, they smiled. We have videos of, in our Rajya Sabha, fist fights of ministers and abuses. But in Dashrath Maharaj's court, the ministers were very, very cultured. They never speak untruthful words in anger or in greed or for monetary reasons. Whatever reason, whether you try to bribe them, they will never speak anything untruthful. There is nothing unknown to them, even a little in their own country or others either. Or about everything that is happening or has happened or that is going to happen, for they know them through agents. They are very well updated all the time. They are efficient in administration. And a special quality was, their friendships are well examined by the king. When I was preaching in one place with another devotee, then I presented a whole system of preaching on a board to my senior. And I said, Prabhu, I think that this should be done, and if we do this, then we can do a lot of preaching. I said, but ultimately I'll do whatever you say. So what is your suggestion? He said, my suggestion is, forget about all this preaching. He said, if you can live with friendly relations with your co-preacher, if you can cooperatively, in a friendly and loving manner, just do, be together, that is the best preaching. That is my target for you. There is no other preaching to be done. So I was shocked. And what about all the youth preaching? What about all the congregation preaching? What about all the other things? He said, no, this is the preaching. If you both are happy preaching, then other things will automatically happen. So here we see, the administrators, their friendship, that was very nicely examined by the king. They were very good friends. And those ministers impose punishment even on their own sons if situations demand. They were so righteous that even if their sons would do anything wrong, they would impose punishment on them. They would not let them go. In collection to their treasury and to militarize their armies, they are dutiful. Even an unfriendly person will not be tortured if he were not really blameworthy. They do not persecute Brahmins and Kshatriyas to fill up the treasury, and high degree punishments will be given on accessing the person. All of those ministers are clean administrators of the kingdom and are in league with each other. As such, there is none anywhere, either in capital or in country, a liar. No one with an evil mind or with an interest in other man's wife is there. And thus, on whole, the kingdom, and also like that in the capital, there is undisturbed society. If the kingdom is run like that by such people, how would the state be? The state is mentioned, the city of Ayodhya. How was it? It was very beautiful to look at, very nicely surrounded by water and soldiers everywhere. The city Ayodhya accommodates groups of dancers and theoretical personnel, and she is surrounded everywhere in the gardens and breaks of mango trees. White fort wall is like an ornament, impassable by any trespassers, and buildings are ornamentally studded with precious gems. And with such multi-storied skyscrapers, she'd adorn and fill with them. She's like Amravati, the capital of Indra. The housing is very dense, and there is no place or ground unutilized, and all are constructed on well-leveled lands. Rice grain is plentiful, with drinking water which tastes like nectar or sugarcane juice. The city is so clean, so beautiful. There are fruit trees everywhere, there are flowers everywhere. The government is run so nicely that the drinking water over there is like sugarcane juice. The city is surrounded with drum beats of great drums and with musical rhythms, instrumentals, and people are satisfied with their own riches. They have no greed. They advocate truthfulness alone. In our cities, because people are unsatisfied, they don't mind cheating anybody. Whether you are in saffron, whether you are in white, it doesn't make a difference to them. All they see is money. I came from a program, preaching program with Shikshashtakam Prabhu from UD City. And we came out near this gate. Watchman is here close by. We were sitting. We got down from the taxi. And Shikshashtakam Prabhu didn't have a change for maybe 100 or 500 rupees. And so we gave to the taxi and we were standing out. Taxi person took the money and he just drove. And he ran away. And we were just standing looking at each other. And from that day onwards, I remember, Shikshashtak Prabhu never gets out of the taxi until he gets the change. Yeah. We came from a Vrindavan Yatra, myself and a friend, took a taxi at VT, and we were so happy, in a nice mood. It's early morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and the cab person, he told us something like, the bill was 55 rupees something. He said, you have to pay 400 rupees. We told him, we are in dhoti kurta, but we are from Bombay. We are not from any village. So we know what the cost is. So he said, no. And he was adamant. And we became angry. I said, come on. He said, I'll take you to police. So he said, let's go to the police. I got down, I took my dhoti and I couldn't see the meter. So I said, why is it so foggy? I wiped the meter. There was grease on the meter. Cleaned it, he had put grease. And I saw, hey, see, the meter is saying that. So he took us to the police station early in the morning. And suppose the police station is there where Prabhupada is, and the taxi came here on a turn, he stopped. He said, no problem, Maharaj, now you can give whatever you like. Forget the police. Why so much of harassment? Then we had a fight. So when people are not satisfied, They will try to cheat you for every little penny and make your life miserable. None with meager accumulation is there in the great city. No householder is there without unearned means. Everybody has a good living. No householder with us cows, without horses, without cereals, who cannot sustain his family. None can see a lustful person or a miser or a cruel one anywhere in that area. No one can. All the ladies and gentlemen in the city are virtuous in mind, self-controlled, self-satisfied. Everyone is wearing jewelry, ornaments in the city. Everyone's very happy. The city is protected by Kshatriyas properly. There were Brahmanas who would take care. Prabhupada says Chanakya was the last Brahman who. And he installed Chandragupta. And he was very righteous. He actually fought with the Nanda king. Nanda king had a Brahmin by the name Rakshasa. And he wanted that the Nanda kingdom may flourish. But that kingdom was adharmic. It was not religious. So Chandragupta Maurya had to be installed as a king. So Chanakya, he tried to destroy Nanda. And his Brahminical minister tried to destroy Chanakya. There was a fierce fight between both the Brahmanas. And both were very intelligent. But the difference was, one was dharmic, the other was adharmic. And as this was going on, ultimately Chanakya one time, he had a pact with Chandragupta. He said that, we will act, we'll do some act. You tell that you have removed me from the court because I'm useless. So Chandragupta, he removed Chanakya from his court to fool the other king that now Chanakya is gone. And there was a rumor spread that Rakshasa would now be installed as the minister for Chandragupta. And so everyone became against Rakshasa. And there was a problem. And they ordered the Nanda king to kill the associates of Rakshasa. And ultimately Rakshasa became, you know, in favor of Chandragupta. Of course, after Chanakya won over the kingdom and installed Chandragupta and destroyed the Nanda king, he called this Brahmin. And he told him that, see, you are not the minister of this particular king. You are the minister of Dharma. You are supposed to protect dharma. This king was adharmi. So now I don't want to be the minister. You become the minister for Chandragupta and I am going. That's how the Brahmins were. And the kingdom would be protected by very powerful Kshatriyas. Bhagavan Prabhu told me a story and I'll end with this. How the Kshatriyas were valiant. Because recently we are seeing so many, every day in news, rape case. One after the other, after the other. And I was giving a program and I was speaking about Ramayana. And some Matajis, they were like, you know, very angry. Said, but what about this? Now what is happening? What do you say about this? And I told them that how in earlier times the kings would be very well trained from childhood to protect the citizens, to keep them happy. The example is of Shivaji Maharaj. His mother Jijabai, she trained him. Although she would never come in front, but she appointed brahmanas and other qualified teachers to take care of him. And he was a young boy, maybe in his teens. And he had already become the ruler of whatever he could capture. So one person who was a jamindar, a rich man, he had molested a woman in the village. And the news was brought to Shivaji Maharaj. And Shivaji Maharaj said, get that man. Tell him the king is calling him. So the soldiers went and they informed him. And this man laughed. He said, that small child, you think he's the king? Tell him to get lost. And they came back and reported to Shivaji Maharaj. And Shivaji said, he thinks I'm a child. He thinks he can do anything wrong in this state. Molest women like this. I will teach him a lesson. Get him with his legs tied. Drag him with his legs tied. Bring him to me. So they brought him like that. And Jijabai's mother, Shivaji Maharaj's mother, was sitting behind in curtains and seeing how her son will give justice now to this situation. And Shivaji Maharaj said, you have done this something, such an abominable act, and you are proud of it, I will punish you. He said, call the carpenter and let the carpenter cut his hand. You know, carpenter has a special, you know, saw, not with a sword. Let the carpenter cut his hand. And as he made this statement, his mother Jijabai came running from behind and embraced Shivaji. He said, bravo my son, I am proud of you. I was just wanting to see what punishment you give to such a person. Srila Prabhupada writes over here that how the Kshatriyas were trained not to be non-violent. Ahimsa is nonsensical, Srila Prabhupada writes, in such cases. People are doing so many wrong things. Each minister may have particular case on him of such type of activities itself. How will they give justice to the citizen? So, by the culture of Krishna consciousness, such things can be revived. And when we hear such things, we become very angry. And we feel that we should start another, you know, Robin Hood institution to take care of the modern situation. And I was reading Srila Prabhupada's purports. Srila Prabhupada writes over there, if we try to do such things, everything will be spoiled. He said, we cannot rectify the modern situation by such a act. But he says, by the process of powerful promotion of Krishna consciousness, one can change. I would personally say, I would surely be a part of the destruction of this particular world, society, if I was not connected to Krishna consciousness. I would have been a major problem by doing some destruction. But because of the devotees have been very kind, some of them sitting over here, connected me to Krishna consciousness, I could at least, if not do much welfare to society, avoid destruction of what can be done. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sorry.